Welcome back, and joining me now for a look at the day's market action is Martin Smith from Anchor Capital and Carmen Mbelwane from Absa Asset Management. Thank you to the both of you for joining us. The volatility that we're seeing in the markets, I mean, one day we're celebrating, the next we're in a state of gloom. Martin, starting with you, what's the main culprit here?
It's quite difficult to put a kind of point on it. I think we always make the joke in the office, we say more sellers than buyers. But I think in this instance, it's pretty accurate way to kind of depict what's going on out there. I think people are just stepping out of the way, saying there's some risk with what's happening in the US. You've obviously also got China with its zero policy or zero tolerance towards COVID. And you've also got the war that's still going on. So I think you've seen a lot of people just saying, you know what, I actually want to step out of the way of this market for now and not get involved. There's too many risks, there's too much unknown, and there's too much negativity at the moment. So I think that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah. Carmen, what's your main concern at this point?
I think the key thing is lack of transparency. As Martin says, you know, no one can see or has any line of sight in terms of where we'll be in the next few months. Or even weeks, you know, or even days in terms of this week, where we saw market up and then within a few hours, market down again and down severely. So I know everyone's watching the Fed, everyone's watching inflation. Those, I think, are the two key factors at the moment, barring anything further in Ukraine. But yeah, I think, as Martin says, it's so difficult. And so everyone literally is just taking a step back and, for lack of a better phrase, crossing fingers.
Yeah. You know, one day we're worried about inflation, the next interest rates. And I just got reminded of a house song that titled Cure and the Cause. And it seems that now markets are worried about interest rates that are supposed to be the cure for inflation. But then they're afraid that high interest rates will cause a recession. Quite wild. The dip that we are seeing in the markets, I mean, is the market readjusting or correcting from the levels we saw during COVID? Or Martin, do you think that stocks are maybe oversold at this point?
Look, I think the fundamentals don't quite necessarily reflect the sentiment out there. I think you are still seeing some very decent numbers coming out of businesses now during this last earnings season that we've just seen or kind of in the midst of. So I think the reality, economic reality of what's going on the ground versus sentiment are quite disjointed at this moment in time. And like I said, I think emotion is playing a massive part and sentiment is incredibly negative. So I think fundamentals are out the window. And yeah, I think stocks can go a little way to get a little cheaper. I don't think we're screaming buys from valuation perspectives. But I think, I don't think the sentiment quite reflects what's actually happening on the ground from an economic perspective.
Yeah, with all the economic anxiety and risks out there, Martin says that stocks can maybe get a little bit cheaper. Carmen, your take? I mean, have the markets reached the bottom or do you think that we could still see some more downside?
Yeah, I think, you know, if we just strip it out, the JSE has been pretty resilient year to date, especially compared to global markets. So I definitely think there could be a lot more pain, most likely fueled by a risk off and some money leaving South Africa once again. But I think, as Martin said, you know, we saw the earnings season in the US. I think it was over 2/3 of stocks had earnings surprises to the upside. But at this point, no one cares. The overriding factor is the fear around inflation and how the central banks are going to respond to that. So as much as the fundamentals may be there, you know, behavior dictates a different way.
Yeah. More pain equals more opportunity for some people. Martin, I mean, with the risks that we are seeing of stagflation at the moment, where would you be likely to make your money work, to put your money in?
Yes, I mean, stagflation is the biggest thing that people are worried about when it comes to what the US are doing. I mean, obviously, we saw the BOE essentially confirm that stagflation is going to be a thing there. So I think if you get into an environment of stagflation, which the Fed still don't think will happen, I think the probability of that is quite low. But you're probably looking for companies that have good pricing power that can pass on that inflation onto the consumer. And if it's maybe a commodity-led stagflation type event, maybe the underlying commodity counters themselves. I think that's probably your best bet.
Carmen, where would you be looking for returns in a situation of stagflation or something close to it?
Yeah, it's so difficult. But I think one of the key things is, you know, literally to go back to fundamentals and to find those pockets of value. And as you've said, where things have been oversold. So I would stick to the formula of quality earnings, number one, if we can see that still coming through. Number two, companies with really strong balance sheets. So, you know, in stagflationary environments where we're likely to see interest rates go up a lot more. So we want to see balance sheets that have as little debt as possible, which a lot of companies have been able to do over the pandemic. And then number three, so we look at those companies who are dividend flush. So those would be my three anchors to look at through the noise.
All right. Martin mentioned something that he doesn't really think that we'll see a situation of a recession in the U.S. I'd like your take on it, Carmen. And looking at the jobs report that we got for April in the U.S. coming in more than expected. I mean, Powell did say when he came out with the statement that, you know, the U.S. economy is strong enough to handle rising interest rates, citing factors including the robust job gains. So, do you think this is good enough to not trigger a recession and to actually get to a soft landing?
I think if we had an eight ball, that would be the ideal in the situation to answer the question. Yeah. But I think what this week has shown us is that despite what the Fed has said, and the key risk, I think, from everyone with the announcement was whether there was going to be an indication for a more rapid rise in interest rates, so 75 bps at the next meeting. Yeah. But I think what has come through is that trust has been lost a little bit, and maybe people feel that the Fed don't have a complete handle on it. As you said, the numbers completely overshot in terms of non-farm payroll today in the US, totally unexpected, which means that the economy is churning quite well in the US and maybe too fast for what the Fed has expected.
Yeah. So maybe, Martin, on your side, the market reaction isn't really justified after that Fed statement?
Yeah, I mean, it was very interesting, right? So initially, the market was a little bit negative when the Jerome Powell first started speaking. And then I think to Carmen's point, once he points out the fact that 75 basis points wasn't on the cards, then you saw the NASDAQ rally, you saw kind of this massive positivity come through, which is also quite surprising in itself, because all of this is in the price in essence. I mean, market's pricing in 2.7% for the end of the year from an interest rates perspective. Jerome Powell spoke about the fact that the neutral rate where you balance out the economy versus inflation is between 2 to 3%. It's all in the price. So these massive swings, I think it's just down to sentiment. So like I said, it's quite difficult to explain away. And you see that across multiple analysts, multiple fund managers, people are just saying, seems like everyone just wants to get out the way, regardless of what the fundamentals are.
All right. Bank of England adopting a much more cautious tone to monetary policy tightening. There were three members, though, that voted for a 50 basis point interest rate hike instead of a half, a quarter of a percentage point. In a situation where there's now this threat of stagflation, was that move wise, Carmen?
It's a very good question. We'll find out in due course. Having said that, keeping in mind there is a lag. So an interest rate movement has about, I think, a 6 to 12 month lag where you actually see the impact. But it doesn't preclude the BOE from in future, obviously, increasing or rapidly increasing the increase in the interest rate. Whether it was wrong or not, sure, Zanati, I can't even hazard a guess on this one.
Yeah, okay. Martin, your take on just that tightrope that the BOE is walking in terms of economic growth and trying to tame inflation?
I think that's what central banks always do, is a tightrope, or analogy where you're riding a bicycle and you want to go fast enough that you keep your momentum and don't fall over, but not too fast that you crash. I think that's kind of a good analogy of where they are. Like you said, it's very, very tough at the moment because there's lots of factors. You've got supply shocks out of the Ukraine. You've got demand being potentially not being there because of the growth not being there. I mean, IMF cut growth considerations a couple of weeks ago. There's just so much on the go and kind of external factors that it's very, very difficult for them. And I think they've done a decent job of just trying to at least analyze the data as it comes out, because again, the forecasting must be so difficult.
Talking about tough, there's COVID still around. There are new COVID regulations in South Africa, of course, as we're heading to a fifth wave. There are testing requirements for visitors, international visitors coming to SA, curbs on the size of public gatherings. And actually, we've got the tourism sector saying that it won't even make any sense for SA to host international events. You know, with these on and off rules, Carmen, how optimistic or pessimistic are you on South Africa's tourism sector?
Yeah, I think, you know, I always reflect on the sector, and I think it's one of the most hardest hit out of all the sectors, not just on the JSE, but in general in the economy. And we've just seen a return sort of to a comeback. You know, if you try to book for a breakaway over Easter, it was really hard to get venues. Even over December time, you know, people were just rearing to go back and to just relax and have fun. I think that we have to keep in mind as well that as much as a new wave is starting, and I think our latest numbers was close to 10,000 new cases yesterday, and a positivity of about 25%. So that's almost topping out at what the previous peaks were in the previous waves, which was at about 30%. So it's risen quite rapidly, but in the same breath, we haven't seen hospitalizations increasing, which means that this is likely to be similar to the fourth wave with Omicron. And you're also seeing a real sort of lazy attitude, should I say, towards vaccinations. Yeah. So as much as the numbers are going up, I think people are just exhausted. We've got that fatigue. So I don't know if the government will put any more stringent restrictions in, but the international population is probably going to be more cautious.
Yeah, and that lazy attitude we've definitely seen with an update from Aspen saying that it's got zero orders for its own branded COVID-19 vaccine, saying that it might have to repurpose that COVID-19 vaccination facility that it has in Gqeberha. We are running out of time. Martin, on to your stock pick for today.
I would be buying some FirstRand here. I think the SA banks are well positioned post COVID. Going to obviously do quite well from a margin perspective in a rising interest rate environment. And I think this recent sell-off we've seen gives you quite a nice opportunity there.
All right. And Carmen, where would you find it safe to put your money in?
So we've seen a nice pullback in Mr. Price, one of my top picks for a while now, and that's centered on sort of downtrading from a consumer perspective, strong balance sheet, a good set of assets as well. So that would be my stock pick.
All right. Thank you very much to the both of you for joining us. That was Martin Smith from Anchor Capital and Carmen Mbelwane from Absa Asset Management.